Good morning to the presentation on my review of the Percon operator for MySQL. I'm Marco Tusa, and I'm working in Percona as technical lead. I don't not going to talk too much about that. Let's go straight to the why this presentation. This presentation is mainly to help you. I mean, I would like to prevent to have you to go to through the same pain that I had when I was approaching the product, and that was partially my fault and partially because a lot of misunderstanding that are existing and that exist around. So, but let's go through the few of them. So the first thing that happened is that when I approached the Kubernetes world, I say, well, okay, let's set up a cluster, the real cluster, Kubernetes cluster, and then let's see how it goes from there. And actually, it was quite takes quite some times, and to do it properly, not the minikube, right, but the real one. So they said, okay, let's skip that part and go straight to GKE, which led me to use the documentation from Percona and from several other sites, Kubernetes specifically, to NGKE especially, to do the test. The testing. I have to say that using the documentation, reading, and not just trying to start the test right away was not enough. Anyhow. Following the documentation, following what is recommended to do, there is the first step. The first step is to clone the repository in your machine to enable the GKE platform client, the client platform on your local machine, and then you can start to play with it. So once you have done that, it is quite straighty and easy. You have to create the initial environment, so the root nodes. As you can see, there is a very simple command to execute here, and at the end of it, of which you will have the cluster below marked as GKE. I highlight three small things that I will discuss later on. But as you can see in my GKE, in my environment, I was having the same subnet, not only the GKE, but also other two instances. Now, one is stopped right now because cost reason, but otherwise it was running during the tests. And they are in the same subnet. Okay, and but this can be, in this case, it was my testing instance for application, but it could be another cluster where you deploy the application, right? So it could be another Kubernetes set of nodes. So let's go ahead. Once you have done this, you have to deploy your configuration, your pod. And again, following the instruction, you just do this. So it's simple, it's straight, no problem. You create the namespace, then you set the context, then deploy the difference element. At the end, you do the deploy the CR, and the CR is actually doing the action of creating the pods. And if everything goes smooth as it should, you will have this kind of situation. So you will have one, the first on top are the pods, and below the service that they are provided. So you can see you are creating three pods with a SHA proxy and three pods with PXC that are actually the data node, right? And below you have the entry points. The entry points are, as a service, are these ones, cluster IPs, okay? So the next step, once you have that, is to connect, start to work with your environment and see what is going on. And there, the first disappointment from my side. I was using the cluster IP and was not working. Nothing to do. I mean, no way to access it. This from my application node. Okay, so the same subnet, and it should be visible. Actually, should be exported. But it was not working. Neither the HAProx replica entry point. So Yeah, they are in this in different subnets, as you can see the cluster IP, but they should be routed and visible, but that was not happening. Interestingly, and actually a little bit more confusing, if I was trying to ping directly, or if I was trying to access directly the pods, so the data node, I was able to. So I was trying to say, oh, wow, what's going on here? Because I cannot connect to the entry point, but I can connect to the data nodes. This is something that needs to be fixed, because in my for me, this is wrong and should not work like that. Anyhow, the other solution, the solution in this moment, in order to utilize the cluster, is to have two different methods. One is port forwarding, and the other one is use the load balancer. So changing the service for the HAProxy, changing the kind of service providing right now. The port forwarding is a very simple, easy to use command, and is mainly SSH forwarding. Is immediate, is very easy. You can use it from my point of view just for administrative thing, because it's an SSH port forwarding, so it is not very performant and is unstable. So you cannot, you know, ask thousands of connection to use that one. While setting up the HAProxy to have an internal exposed load balancer IP, that works fantastic, and that this is going to be my method after the, you know, for the testing. There is a small bug at the moment, but that in here is the bug reference, but it's going to be fixed soon. So after that, I was said, okay, let's do and start the testing. I have run the command. I set up all the users, I set up my schema, and then I start to run my script on the application node. Given the fact it is not really the best platform in terms of performance, it takes a while to populate. It was late in the night. I say, okay, let's go. I will discuss. I will see what happened tomorrow morning. And so I launched the script and went to bed. Actually, the next morning, I found, this is what I found. If you check, you can see the HAProxy are running, but only two of them. One is not even there. Pixie is in crash loop backoff, which means it has already 218 restart from the day before, and no other data node, and of course is unusable. I start to try to understand what was going on, and start to try to use the kubectl logs and investigate the logs for each available block. At the moment, only the pixie zero and the HAProxy, but and to be honest, the logging provide were not enough to debug. So I moved to one level up and say, okay, let's start to see at the root node what was going on. And also there, it was very difficult to identify what was going on. At the end, my eye actually captured something and say, oh, what is this? What is this? And you can see it, right? You can see it. Here we go. And we have that the mount point was 100% full. And the interesting part is that I only had 6 gigabytes. Of course, 6 gigabytes for an environment is really nothing. I mean, that is just nothing. You cannot do any tests with 6 gigabytes, right, of data on disk. So I say, what? Why that? And that was a wrong assumption from my side. So what happened actually is that I stop and say, okay, I'm a little bit lost here. There is something wrong because I have all the pods restarted, and then I have also the node, the root node restarted, and debugger are not good. And at the end, my takeaway is that the instructions that are provided are just good to say hello world. They are not good for any kind of testing. So this is a very important point. Do not follow the instruction just as a say hello world and then stop. Don't pretend to do anything else. And then the other part is that the Kubernetes operator is not allowing you self-tuning. It doesn't allow you to do any kind of scaling. It's just an operator that launched the instances and serve the instances, but you have to do the whole work about dimensioning. So it's not doing automatically for you, and it's not something that you can expect to have done in a smoothless way. You have to go through a process. So, and at the end, I'm still dealing with PXC. So all the problems with PXC about certification, about data transfer, about SST exist. Which is already something difficult to debug. So I take a step back and I say, okay, I need to start from scratch. I need to dimension correctly my VMs and review the configuration about the pods and estimate the effort. This is the point. That was, whoa, wait a second. So if I have to do that, it's like having a machine, you know, having to do the same kind of work I have to do for a standard instance. There is, what's the benefit of doing through the operator? I didn't get it, okay? Meaning, yeah, I can automate, and once I have everything set it up and well-dimensioned automate, but if I cannot, let's say, trust the automation to help me to do the fine-tuning, I have to do the calculation by myself. So this is the most important point if you want to do tests, if you want to do any kind of exercise using the Kubernetes operator, and you need to do the calculation, and you need to be as precise as you can. So the first thing you have to do is to start from the VM roots, and you need to calculate how much CPU and memory and you know, disk space you need for each service that you have there. And you will have the database, you will have the proxy, you will have the log service, and you will have the backup service as well. So you need to consider all of them in order to do the proper calculation. And the other thing is, never use preemptible. That should be removed even in the instruction, because preemptible is really what it really means is that Google Cloud can, when usage key, Google Cloud can, you know, remove your root nodes anytime, because they can reclaim their resources. So just remove it. My bad that I use it. My fault. I should know better, right? And we should know better. But in my thing is that it shouldn't be in the instruction at all. Anyhow, at the end, what I choose is this to go with this kind of setup, which is a different kind of machine. I was using 8 CPU, 30 gigabyte RAM. And I also choose to use Ubuntu, not the standard image that comes, because that will allow me eventually to use Ubuntu with all the thing for GKE, for the container, then add additional element for debugging in that image and create a new image that I will eventually use after to, you know, to spin other nodes that are already pre-configured with all the tools that I want. And then you need to start to debug in depth about the configuration. As I said, you need to do the calculation. In this case, you should also be precise with the MySQL parameters for the buffers, for the IBlog, for the buffer pool, in order to be sure that what you have configured stays inside that kind of amount of memory. So it's not that you can skip that part. Actually, you need to put more careful more attention in that part. It's not something that using Kubernetes and the operator will allow you to say, oh, well, I don't care, let's do it. No, it's the other way around. You have to be even more careful in what you're doing. And that is not only for PXCs, for HAProxy and the log collector, PMM and backup. Anyhow, I am showing here a little bit what is going on, or the kind of settings I used. And you know, like I will explain only the PXC. So I, for instance, I set 24 gigabyte, 4000 milling, which is mainly for CPU as base, and then it can go a little bit up. And then finally, I also said, well, give me at least 100 gigabyte of disk, because that is the data dimension that I calculated, identify as useful. And after that, you can see that my cluster with these settings will have that over 7.91 CPU allocatable, 7.20.23 are allocated, which is good. Okay, is I'm utilizing, but not too much, not too low. I mean, it's the right utilization. And memory wise, I'm keeping some buffer eventually to grow and to increment what I need in terms of buffers. For instance, if I need to do more sorting, if I have to do more, I increase the join buffer or something like that. Now it's time to do the testing of the entry points. As I said, I changed the my entry point, and if you can you can notice that I have two entry points. One is cluster HAProxy, and the other one is cluster HAProxy with replicas. And the my entry point with the load balancer now have an external IP, which actually use the subnet where my wall environment is. So I can easily connect to it and start to do the testing. And it works fine. The other problem instead is using the cluster for replica, the entry point for replicas. I think this should be removed. I'm asking my people in Percona to remove it, to disable by default, and eventually someone can enable it if it really knows what he's doing, because this entry point, given it's HAProxy, doesn't prevent you to use this replicas entry point that touch all the nodes. Instead, the previous one touch only the primary nodes that you use for writes. This other can be is randomly distributed, and you can use this entry point eventually to write everywhere, which is dangerous, which you should not do ever. Okay, so in my opinion, this cluster and HAProxy replica entry point should be removed. And then I start to say, okay, let me see what was going on. We still have PXE on behind, so let's see what's going on in terms of stale read and if I have it or not. With moderate load against that platform, I still have 37% of stale read, which means that if I use two entry points, also if I know very well what I'm doing, or if I use ProxySQL with read-write splitting, I will get some of the reads that are not in line with the primary, because that is the nature of the technology. We know that is well documented. I've wrote articles and articles about that. So this is something that you should not want. This is something you should prevent. So how we can prevent? Either you use one entry point only, so the one that goes to the primary, or you have to tune the sync weight, the WSREP sync weight. If you tune the WSREP sync weight, you will have a performance impact, which means that maybe you can afford that, maybe not. Maybe your application can is a read stale tolerant, maybe not. This is really up to you how to want to play with it. If you play with ProxySQL, you should have, you can have read-write splitting if your application is fault tolerant, or if you can support to have lower performance. But if not, you should not use WSREP sync weight and use one single entry point, which is probably the best approach. Why? And this is the final part. Because Percona operator for PXE is not a PXE cluster. The name is misleading. Do not expect to behave as a standard PXE. This is not what you get. What you get is that this solution offers you a MySQL service. A MySQL service should not be seen as a cluster. The cluster is to provide resiliency to the service. In Kubernetes, in fact, the service is the resilient part. The pods, the nodes, can be started and stopped as needed. So you may have a PXE cluster going up and down, and you start to feel, oh my God, my cluster is unstable, while the service is still perfectly working. And that is how it should work. That's the crazy thing. So the most you stick to that concept, which is one of the main concepts here, that you get a MySQL server, you don't get a PXE cluster server, you get a MySQL service. Then if you do and follow that, you are safe. If you instead try to use it as a cluster, you will have a lot of trouble. And this is something that we are seeing from real life, from support cases. Given you still have PXC behind, right? So the nodes can crash, the node can require SSD and all these kind of things. So if you go beyond certain limit on of the data that you have and you need to pass over the nodes, you have a longer time to do SSD, that you have a lot more disruption in the service. So what we recommend is never go for terabytes of data. Thinking to use terabytes of data in this solution is crazy. This is not designed for that. Okay, it's more for a small set of the database. Oh, sorry, a small dimension, and as well as query per second. You cannot get millions of query per second here. Also, if you scale to the higher platform, yes, you can increase, you can scale up, but still, this is a solution that is not designed to serve billions of query per second. And finally, DDL still have high impact because the technology behind this PXC, right? So whenever you do a DDL needs to be propagated, and that will impact your cluster, which is your service. So and finally, ProxySQL is I prefer HAProxy because ProxySQL require more resources in order to handle the request, eventually filtering the query, and it's not really meant to, because again, we only have one entry point. We should use one entry point, so it's not really useful here. This is just to give you the overview of my initial pain, enlightenment about what this service really is, which is not, again, a PXC cluster, but is a MySQL service. You should see it as a standard MySQL service. And finally, a big question mark, because I had to do a lot of work in tuning correctly. So I was wondering if that is worth or not. Okay. Anyhow, thank you very much for attending this short presentation. And I also add a lot of useful reference for you to read. And thank you. Bye.